What can you tell me about the bottom of the pyramid markets?
Well, if you look at the base of the pyramid in India, it is about 835 million people, which is about 75% of the population. And while it is about 75% of the population, it is about 20% of the disposable income. So it's a lot of people with a lot of latent demand, but currently that market really isn't as large as it should be and it will be as the Indian economy continues to grow. So over time, we think that that's where the white space is, and that's where there will be tremendous opportunities, certainly in medical technology for sure.
I understood you see different stages in that process. Can you tell me something about that?
Yes, of course. You know, all markets grow through a very predictable cycle. There is an early stage market where you have a lot of entrepreneurs developing new technologies and experimenting with business models. And as some of these emerge and become successful, you get into the growth stage of the market where there is a need for commercial capital, there's a need for finance, and there's a need to generate commercially attractive returns. Once that is done, then you actually get to the more mature stage of the market where companies are going out, they're going public, they're being acquired by larger companies, and that's when the market becomes a multi-billion dollar market with large companies and lots of successful exits and IPOs.
If you talk about health and technology, can you give me an example?
Yes, there are many examples of wonderful companies that we are seeing now in India that are very entrepreneurial companies that have gotten to the stage where they have a few customers, their technology has been proven in the field, but they really have not scaled yet. So let me give you three or four examples of such companies. There's a company that we are very excited about called Forest Health. What they have developed at Forest Health is a technology for ophthalmic screening, which looks at the five different problems that typically cause 90% of the blindness in India. And they have developed a low-cost ophthalmic screening device so that they can look at your eyes and tell you whether you're at risk for one of those diseases. And they can do this screening for you for 20 rupees, which is just about 40 cents, 50 cents. So it's very, very cheap. It's a very low-cost screening device. So that's one very good example. There's another company called Embrace that has developed a low-cost infant warmer. Every year in India, there are about 8 million premature babies that are born. And it's very important to be able to control their temperature and make sure their temperature stays steady. And with these infant warmers, it's now possible to ensure that many of these premature infants are able to be kept at a temperature that allows them to survive. So that's another terrific medical technology. There's a third very interesting company that's developing called Sundaram Medical Devices that's developing hospital beds. And what this has is 80% of the functionality of the hospital beds that you get in a modern hospital in Holland or in America, but it's at 20% of the price. So there is this tremendous amount of affordable innovation that's happening that's taking these kinds of medical technologies and making them available for the base of the pyramid population in India.
So these innovations all have a very big social impact.
Yes, they do. What we're really trying to do is to be able to help scale up these companies so that not only are they able to have this incredible positive social impact and be able to help hundreds of millions of people, at the same time they have effective and good business models so that they can grow through finance, through attracting commercial investors that put in the billions of dollars of equity capital and debt capital that's required actually for these companies to scale up. So finance is extraordinarily important for the growth of these medical technology companies.
What kind of investors do you think will be attracted by these ideas?
Yes, our thinking is that initially you'll find impact investors, that is investors that are looking for both financial return and social return and have longer term time horizons who can actually invest in these kinds of companies. Over a period of time, in the next 3, 4, 5 years, we are very hopeful that we will be able to attract just regular commercial investors to these kinds of companies. And actually, if you look at what has happened in some other base of pyramid industries, like, for example, microfinance or telecom, that is in fact what happened.
The bottom of the pyramid, you can see it as a kind of theory to approach a business like. You see, can you export this to all kinds of countries?
I think you have to have a vibrant entrepreneurial sector in these developing countries to be able to see how these innovators can tackle social problems. Not every country in the developing world has a vibrant entrepreneurial sector or the rule of law or the well-developed market infrastructure for entrepreneurs to be successful. There are many such countries, however, where, yes, indeed, entrepreneurs can solve major and difficult social problems. Certainly, India is in that category. We are seeing Brazil in that category. There are many countries in South America that are there, South Africa, Nigeria, all over Southeast Asia. So lots of the global South, I would say maybe 60, 70, 80% of the global South is in a position right now where entrepreneurial innovation can in fact tackle these social problems.